Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship service this morning on the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. We hope that you have stayed dry the last several days, and I know we lost electricity, but it's back on. Any of you still without electricity now? Good. And hopefully you have stayed safe. We had a wonderful men's retreat this weekend, so thank you for the prayers on that. And also, we just want to thank you for your presence today. And I know some of you had to take detours and do other things, so I'm grateful that you're here. Just a couple of announcements. One announcement is that we here have a new PA system that Robert is learning under the tutelage of Pastor Geraldo from the Seventh-day Adventist. Is it too loud for you?
Yes.
I think so. I'm getting a little feedback. Bad enough you have to look at me, and you don't want me screaming at you, too. That better? Okay. Also, next week, Sunday, we are having our ice cream social out at Kelly's pool. Come around 2 o'clock, bring ice cream with dessert, and a bathing suit if you'd like to swim, and bring a bag chair if you have that. And we'd love to just have a great time together. I hear the weather is going to be wonderful, and we'll have just a nice time there together. Also, remind you that we are collecting clothing for July, so if you would like to buy clothes that can go into our Christmas child boxes that we'll be assembling at Christmas, I would encourage you to do that. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. Before we begin our worship, any prayer requests that anyone would like to share? Robert.
I want to get a prayer for Mr. Hamilton in the hospital.
Let's keep Philip Hamilton in our prayers. They're running the test, really don't know. How did this happen? Because she fell too, didn't she?
Yeah, she's all right now.
Okay. Well, let's keep the Hamiltons in our prayers. All right? Any other? Yes, ma'am. The family of Larry Beatty.
His wife passed away.
Okay. Larry Beatty's wife. Okay.
Gail
Beatty.
Yes.
All right. Let's keep that family in our prayers. Any other items for you? Yes, Tom.
Just continued prayers for my mom as she's still waiting to have her surgery when they find the death door.
Let's keep Tony's mom in our prayers. All right, anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the joy of being desired by you. We thank you that your creation of us was not to fix or fill a deficit that you had. It was rather out of your good pleasure to create us for full and pleasurable communion and fellowship with one another. We also thank you that in our falling in Adam and Eve, we destroyed that relationship that you intended, and we are grateful that through Christ Jesus, you took upon flesh. You took our sin and you restored through Christ that fellowship. So now we can be one with you and one with each other through that one mediator. We're so grateful for that. And we're grateful that we're not only loved, but you were heard. You desire to hear your children pray. So we come to you and we pray that above even our words, that you would look upon our hearts. You know those things that sometimes are even too painful to pray, too confusing to speak, and sometimes too chaotic to even see what an appropriate and holy answer would be. But we thank you for those times that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. You look upon our hearts and your Spirit does the praying for us. So we just lift those up that we care about. And we ask that the one who cares most of us will take these cares and deal in your compassionate wisdom. We trust you, and we thank you. We pray in particular you would be with the Hamiltons, in particular be with Philip as they're running tests and observing, help him to be strengthened and feel better soon. We pray that you'd be with the family of Gail Beattie. We just pray that you'll comfort Larry and all the friends and family in this loss, and just strengthen them. Draw close, as we know you do, to the widows and the orphans, those most vulnerable. Have a special place in your heart. So draw close to them, we pray. We also pray that you continue to be with Tony's mom. Just continue to work health and healing there. We pray for any upcoming surgeries that her body would be prepared and the procedure itself will go well. We commit all things to you. We commit the one that comes to our mind at this time to you. And we commit our lives through Jesus Christ completely to you. And it's through his holy name we pray together. Amen. If you look with me in front of the bulletin, as always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen. Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the interior, we will use the first 14 verses of Psalm 65, calling each to worship. Then we'll stand and sing with joy hymn 338, Wonderful Words of Life. You are to be praised, O God, in Zion. To you shall vows be performed in Jerusalem. Our sins are stronger than we are, but you will blot them out. Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness, O God of our salvation, O hope of all the ends of the earth and of the seas that are far away.
You made the vast mountains by your power, that they are girded about with might.
You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of the peoples.
The lilies are out of the ends of the earth, you tremble at your marvelous signs. You made the dawn and the dust to sing with joy.
You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous, for the river of God is full of water.
You prepare the air and rain, for so you cannot harbor from the earth.
You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rains you soften the ground and bless the increase.
You crown the earth with your goodness, and your house shall overflow with plenty.
May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy.
May the heavens cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cover themselves with grains. Let them shout for joy and sing.
Amen.
first lesson comes from Isaiah 55:10-13. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Here ends the first lesson for the day.
Thank you.
The second reading comes from Romans 8, 12 to 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Here ends the second lesson of the day.
Came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, for they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. You know, it's a strange phenomenon. Have you ever gone on vacation and you came home and felt like you needed a vacation to rest up on vacation? You ever gone on a retreat and left thinking it was a wonderful retreat, but we need a retreat to retreat from the retreat? So give some grace to the fourth row back. If they start nodding off, let them be. Might be the best sleep they get all week. The grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you. Today's parable is a very interesting parable. It is the first of the kingdom parables, and he starts off explaining the parable and also mentioning why Jesus would speak in parabolic form anyway. And we're going to look at this parable today, not so much for what it says, but for what it doesn't say. And all of you will have opinions because it's about gardening. And some of you have very nice gardens, and you take it quite seriously, and you have your own thoughts, and we'll see how they square with Jesus. But let me remind you that Jesus outranks you. So we're going to come and hopefully learn, not from Tom, who knows nothing about gardening, but maybe learn from Jesus Christ this morning. He begins in verse 1 of Matthew 13 by saying, that same day. Matthew is intentionally wanting us to know that it's on this particular day. So whenever you see a statement like that when you're reading the scripture, it's important to know why did the author point out that same day. Well, if you look at what had started in chapter 12, with this phrase that's connecting us intentionally, that this parable was told on the same day as what was discussed in Matthew 12. What you see in Matthew 12 in the final verses is the unbelief of the crowds. That the crowds, we see in beginning in verse 46, if you will, chapter 12, while he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my brothers and my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. That same day, Jesus gives us this parable, and I'd like to look at it. First thing I'd like to point out in this parable of the sower is that there is an intention, there's a purpose in sowing. It says that, and he talks about it in verse 3, a sower went out to sow. There's an intentionality. You say, well, that's obvious. Well, it is when it's gardening. When you garden, you put in certain plants, and your intention is to see the fruit of that particular plant ripen, come to harvest. We need to understand that when it comes to things of the Spirit, we have to have that same intentionality. You plant seeds, don't you, gardeners, with a great deal of hope? Do any of you apathetically sow seed? Well, I'll put it in the ground. I don't really care if it grows or not. Of course not. You have expectation, and you expect to see a harvest. You sow with intentionality. And so, too, in this parable that we should learn is that when we speak the seed, we should do it expecting God to work. Every time I come to church, and it's not because of the quality of the preaching you'll hear, it's because of the promises of the Scripture, the promise to not return void, I come expecting God to do something. And what's humbling to me is on those days that I really think I preached a good sermon, I don't get as much feedback as the one that I really think I preached what, from my perspective, was a stinker. And I'll have people tell me how wonderful the Spirit led them. Because it's a reminder to me and to all of us is that the goodness is not in the preacher. The goodness is in the word that's being preached or the seed. So we should have expectations. But it's not just the pastor. It's for all of you. From a pastor to a plumber, you need to be talking the seed, talking the word to other people. And it should be a joy. And I'm not saying that we are Christian button hookers or we go and we try to mug people for Christ, but we should be eager to simply say, I'll pray for you. Or is there somehow I can pray for you? Or are you having a rough day today? You can say to a clerk or someone we see. And if they say, yes, you know, I'll pray for you. In fact, can I pray with you right now? Can I just offer you a word? So we're to sow with the intentionality that there will be a harvest. But there's a second thing we see in this sowing. There's risk in sowing. Even though you sow with expectation, is it 100% guarantee on what you plant? Is what you're going to harvest. Kelly was telling me this past week that someone down around his farm had his whole corn crop laid over by the rain and the wind. It's a risk in this, and we see that Jesus understands that there's a risk. It's called sowing. It's not guaranteed. It's a risk involved. But the thing I want to point out is the seed is always the same. The seed is... There's no variableness in the seed. The seed is always good. Each one of the places that the field received it, it's the same seed. What varies is the soil. And let's look and turn at the soil. The first soil we see in verse 19, he describes and explains this parable for us. In verse 19, it's the road or the pathway. It's the walking path between the rows of crops. And what he says is that some soil that received the seed, they've been hardened. Figuratively speaking, and sometimes literally, they just feel like they've been walked on. You ever felt like you've been hit with a Mack truck? And you've just been walked on hard by life. And if we're not careful, that type of soil can get so walked on, so hardened, can become so cynical, that when the word falls upon it, as Jesus says in verse 19, it says, when they hear the word and they of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one will come and snatch away what has been sown in their heart. So this is a well-packed, cynical, hardened way of just sort of disregarding anything good. And the soil of this nature, the seed is snatched away. The second he shows us in verse 20, the rocky soil. This is the soil where there's just a lot of rocks, so that they receive the seed, But it's superficial. It's not very deep. So when the heat of the day or hard times comes, it defeats it. The third soil, in verse 22, are the weeds and the thorns. And these are the ones that receive the word, they receive the seed, but they've just got too many other things they're worried about. There are just too many other things that they're concerned about and cared about. And that worry will choke out the seed. We pray all the time, don't we, that we would be the fourth soil, and that's a good soil. We pray that we won't be hardened. We pray that we won't have multiple distractions. We pray that it'll be deep and not superficial. And that is the good soil, verse 23. The good soil is soft. It receives it. And it hears it and it understands it and it proclaims it. Now, there's a promise in sowing as well. There's a promise that we read, or Sue read in Isaiah 55, that if we sow the seed, it will not return void. Now, I want you to answer and identify the characters for me. So speak out loud. You can. Who is the sower in this pair? Absolutely. The sower is God the Father. Who are the soils in this parable? We are. Which one are you of the soils? And the truth of the matter is, this is so important. And we have this way, when we're reading Scripture, to think that the line that's described between good and evil, it's between me and some other person. And isn't it ironic that usually I think I'm the good and the other's the evil. But the line that splits, that divides good and evil, is not between individual people. That line runs through my heart, and it runs through your heart. And so what I'm going to suggest to you is you're all four of the soils. You're all four in different areas. You may find, and maybe it's been a curiosity to you, how come I can believe God in one area so deeply and richly, and I can see Him working, but in another area, I've just got too many weeds. In another area, I'm hardened to that. Life's walked all over me on that area. So what we need to understand is we have all four of these soils in us. So the Father is a sower. The soils would be the field of our heart. What is the seed? Any takers?
The word.
All right. And the eternal word is Jesus Christ. John will pick this up. All three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, include this parable of the four soils. John does not, but he builds on it with the very first verse out of John's mouth. What is the very first verse in John 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus Christ is that Word, but it's a seed. It's a Word that produces. It's the word that demands, but it provides what it demands. That's why the word of the gospel is different than the law. The law makes demands, but gives no ability with it to keep the law. And you learn that time after time after time. We cannot keep the law. So the law comes as a declaration that only kills. The word comes, and the word provides the power to believe it, and it's given. What does Paul say in Romans? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word, the seed, produces its own growth in the ability to hear it by being heard. But I want to also say that Jesus is referring back to the very earliest of seed mentions. There's a mention in Scripture, or a principle in biblical hermeneutics or interpretation. It's called the law of first mention. And you want to see the first time seed, in particular for us, is mentioned. And the first time that seed is mentioned in a Christological way is in Genesis 3. When our forefather and mother, Adam and Eve, representing all of us, ate of the tree that was prohibited. And if you remember, they immediately understood the shame and guilt. If you'll look with me in Genesis 3, I want us to look at a verse that you are very familiar with. And sometimes in the familiarity, we read too quickly and we don't notice what we need to hear. But in Genesis 3, theologians call this the proto-evangelium, or the first gospel, the first mention of the gospel. After they had fallen, after they had tried to add insult to injury by making fig leaf clothing, and that failed, so God came to them. They did the blame shifting. You remember, Adam came to Adam first, and he said, "Well, it's that woman you gave me. You know, I went to bed single, and I woke up married." So he almost implied it was God's fault, because you gave me that woman. And God goes to the woman, and then she says it was the serpent. And then we see in verse 14, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life.'" And here's that first gospel. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now the ESV has offspring, but in the Hebrew, and it may be the version you're looking at it, and I know in the King James, it doesn't say offspring. And I wish the ESV used the precise word. What it should read is, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." Now, besides being the first gospel, the proto-evangelium, does something strike you strange about this promise from God? Well, I wasn't paying too much attention in high school biology, but to my understanding, the woman doesn't have a seed. In my understanding, the woman receives the seed of the male. So we see here even a prophecy that not only would there be a Savior that would come, but it would be through a woman who didn't need the contribution of a man. She would be a virgin, and that seed would come from God Himself, incarnate of the Holy Spirit. So we see even here this promise that you're going to get a Savior, and it's going to be a seed that's going to come in a humanly impossible way. And Jesus Christ is the seed. And so what we are told in this parable is Jesus is making connection. I am He. That's why the kingdom is here. I am He that was promised in the gospel. That seed that the Father is going to sow into your heart. And you're going to struggle with it. If you do the math, one out of four is only 25% of the time is that good soil. You're going to struggle with it, but the seed is going to have its work, and it's going to be a powerful seed. It's going to be a performance seed. It's going to be a word that creates faith in you. But I want to ask my gardener friends, this isn't exactly how you would go about sowing seeds, is it? Now, I don't know much about gardening. I don't want to know much about gardening. I mean, it's not therapeutic to me at all. For some of you, it is, and you enjoy it, and more power to you. But for me, it's not therapeutic. I love vegetables, but I'm more on the eating committee than I am on the planting committee. And I do my part quite well. one thing I've learned in my dear wife, because she really likes to garden, is, and we don't see it in this parable, is that you just can't throw your seed out there. Oh, you got to prepare the soil. So I've learned all about topsoil and rich dirt and poor dirt and happy frogs and black cows and all sorts of mix, and you prepare the soil, don't you? You who garden, you prepare your soil, don't you? Because you want the seed to have every chance in the world to take in root. So why do you think Jesus doesn't say anything about, why don't you prepare your soil? There's nothing about soil preparation. And I'm going to suggest to you, it is. But it goes back to the point that the only seed that is promised to not return void is Jesus Christ himself. So we don't use anything else to prepare us for Christ. We just give out Christ. And that's the picture we have here of the sower. Is he sort of indiscriminate? He's just throwing seed all the time. And what the truth of the matter is, the more seed we sow in our hearts, the more Christ will take root, because Christ is his own preparation. Christ is the one who prepares us to receive Christ. That's why we don't come to Christ after we get everything fixed up. Fred Smith, who was a Christian layman and started FedEx, he was a very strong Christian. He asked a question once to a bunch of pastors, and I'll ask it to you. If one Saturday you went and at the baseball game or wherever you were, and he asked pastors this, he said, and that night you tied on a real good one and wrecked your truck into a tree, and Sunday morning before you went to church, you woke up and the headline of the local paper said, and called your name, local pastor wrecks his car in a drunken rage. And Fred Smith asked this pastor, how many of you guys would probably call in sick that Sunday and not show up? And what he went on to say is, we do that. We somehow think that we've got to get fixed up. We've got to get presentable. We've got to get where it looks like we don't have any flaws, and then we'll come to Christ. He said that's about as smart as if you were in an automobile accident and the EMT showed up and you said, I tell you what, let me clean up a little bit and let some of these cuts and bruises heal, and then I'll go to the hospital. Do you see how wrong-headed that is? And it's the same thing with Christianity. We don't prepare our soil, and then once it's prepared, now we're ready to receive Christ. From the beginning to the end, it's all about Jesus Christ. And we just sow him in our soils. Some will take, and some won't. And I would suggest to you, because our Savior said, don't focus on that. Focus on the seed. He didn't focus on the soil, neither should we. We focus on the seed. And in focusing on the seed, I trust the Spirit will increase more and more good soil that's able to receive the seed. And we'll know the peace and the joy that only Jesus Christ can provide. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Creator God, you made this earth of paths and rocks and thorns and soil. To Abraham you promised fertile land, and to Moses you offered blessing and freedom. In your prophets you called your people to cultivate the promises of your land and cherish the blessings of your freedom. In Jesus you gave us your superabundant soil. In his cross he was plowed and broken open, that we might be restored, replenished, and renewed, to be planted again as your good seed in this earth. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Abundant God, from your good soil you make enough and plenty to feed and inspire all your children. And out of the earth you bring the glory of resurrection life. Come among us now through the power of your Spirit, that we may be transformed into your likeness, and that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me, for the forgiveness of sins." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Transforming God, where your children are in the grip of evil and bewilderment, bring them your courage and clarity. Where they are without deep root and facing trouble or persecution, give them patience and endurance. Where they are burdened by the cares of the world and tempted by the lure of wealth, offer them wisdom and understanding. And where they bear fruit and yield, make them fruitful, so plentiful that it may feed all in your world who hunger for faith, for hope, or for love. Sanctify your groaning creation, that your universe may breathe your breath and be filled with your life anew, that we may love what you love and do what you would do. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with sincerity and truth, to come and to receive. We come forth with open hands, receiving from him, the only good one, all the goodness that he has, measured and pressed down and offered to us in Christ alone. Andy will be here. If you would like someone to join with you in prayer, we also have cards. If you would like to pray for someone and to lift them up, you can take one of these cards and mail it to them. I know it would make their day to receive a card that someone lifted them up in prayer. And it may be a good way to sow Christ in the hearts of those as we all need him. So I bid you to come, for Christ is our Passover Lamb. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
approval. This is our
only joy. This is our peace that passes all understanding. May through your Spirit that seed continue to take deep and abiding space in our heart and our mind and our lives to your glory, to our enjoyment, and to be a light to the world, letting people know that we are not the light. We bear witness to the true light, Jesus Christ. And we pray in his most holy name. Amen. Let us close our worship singing the final hymn together before we hear the benediction. Love to serve our Lord.
Amen. Amen.